One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning, or anything else really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. Guys, friend of the CleanCast and super smeller,
that's me,
Lizzie O'Leary is here today. I bet you guys can guess what we're going to be talking about. It's February, our bathroom month. I've got a super smeller. Ugh. We're going to be talking about bathroom smells. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, Joel.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here.
It's great to have you.
Smells okay in here.
I of course, after I knew you were a super smeller, but I don't think I've ever really, like, spent a lot of time thinking about it. And as I was walking over here directly from the gym in my sweaty gym clothes, I was like, oh, poor super smeller. Lizzie is going to be locked in the studio with me and my dirty gym clothes.
It is kind of a nightmare, but it's the reason that I do things like text you, Jolie, there's a smell in our closet.
Yes.
How do I deal with that?
It all is sort of coming together now.
Right.
Which is a text I got.
There's a smell in the fridge. There's a smell. Yeah.
Yeah. I got recently from Lizzie, and I just, like, shot back a few Amazon links. I was like, here's what you need.
No one else can smell it. It's just me.
Right, because you're a super smeller.
Yeah, and my mother, who is also like this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a super smeller, but I'm pretty far up there. And so I do have sympathy for that. All right. So you guys, we're going to talk all about bathroom smells today. We actually crowdsourced questions on Twitter. We got some great questions. Great. And I loved doing that way, because actually the direction I would have gone if I had just pulled questions out of my big Ask a Clean Person folder would have been very different from what we actually are answering, having had me throw it out to other people. So we've got a bunch of questions. We're going to have short answers, but it's all going to be smell related. Before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show and listen to Chip Chat / Tinder Talk. Tinder Talk has been very fun. I've got more Tinder Talk. I had a really good date last night with a very young man.
Very young.
Very, very young man. But we already have date number two set up, so don't knock it till you try it. If you want to go listen to that, by becoming an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. Support helps so much, you guys. Thank you. I've gotten a lot of new patrons lately, and it really does help. There's really some weird, it's not bad, just like some weird glitches with some advertisers. So my main show income is down a little, and I really do rely on that Patreon to, like, supplement the work that I do here for free that you get. So even if you're not interested in listening to the bonus episodes, but you want to, like, tip me a buck or two every month just to say thanks for Ask a Clean Person, like, that's great. And you can do that, and I'd really appreciate it.
I would say marry someone who can't smell anything. It's a really good general rule.
No, I feel like if you marry someone who can't smell, then they're creating smells all over the place.
Well, yeah, well, but then you can fart.
True. There's still noise.
Not if you're silent but deadly.
This is true. This is true. All right. We actually are not going to start off with farts.
Okay.
We actually are going to start off with towels, which I'm very excited about. Because, one, we got a really good question. But also, it's like going to let me say something that I realized, having written a recent column about gym gear and having done the recent couple of episodes about gym gear with John Januzzi, when I was, you know, as I do, screaming about fabric softener, I realized that it has been ages since I've talked to you guys about the proper technique for laundering your towels. I'm overdue, so I'm going to get to do that.
Ooh.
Lizzie, I'm going to have you read this
okay.
first question. from, who was it from? Sorry, my script just like went nuts.
Went away.
This is just like a weird day. I feel like everything's going wrong. Things might go wrong in this episode. That's all right. We're going to get through it. Okay. So where was I in my script? Here I am. Oh, Malia L. Chicken. These are all from Twitter, you guys, so they're weird Twitter handles. So I'm going to have you read this first question from Malia.
Can I eliminate the mildewy smell from towels? Do you have any tips for preventing orange mold on my shower curtain?
Yes.
Okay, so those are two.
There are two questions. So. Yeah, two questions. So I want to talk about the towel thing first.
Okay.
The mildewy smell on towels comes almost always from one very specific laundry mistake that's very easy to make.
Which is?
Using too much laundry detergent.
Seriously?
Yes. Yes. Almost always when someone comes to me and they say, I take my towels out of the dryer, they smell fresh, I use them once, and then immediately they just start smelling of mildew, and I can't get more than one use out of it. What is going on with this? Almost always the problem is that person has used too much laundry detergent. And there's a weird thing about mold and mildew. Mold and mildew needs a couple of things to survive and thrive. And two of those things are food and water. Water, obviously, when you dry yourself off with the towel is absorbing water. The food part of it is both you, your skin, your body oils, but also soap. And I want you to keep that in mind when I answer the second question, because it has to do with the answer to the second question, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you have used too much laundry detergent when you're washing your towels, the soap will not fully rinse out. Yes, this makes sense, right?
Yeah.
And then the towels come out smelling fresh, but the minute you use it once and you introduce moisture back on and you hang it back up, boom.
Wow.
You have created, like, you've set, like, the dining table for mold and mildew to develop because you've given it food and water. Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, how do you know? Because I have, you know, different brands and different, you know, they're concentrated and not concentrated.
Right.
And they're like, how do you know what's correct?
Right. So I will say this. There are two things that happen, and this happens also with gym clothes. It's like the towels and gym clothes are actually oddly, very weirdly similar in the way that they function in terms of laundry. I'm just going to use this as an excuse to remind you, never, ever, 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 ever wash your towels with your gym clothes. The gym clothes will like absorb the lint from the towels and you'll end up just with like permanently linty gym clothes. And I can help you fix it, but honestly, it's really a big pain in the ass to fix. So like, just don't do it. Always separate towels should just kind of be washed on their own or with like sheets are a good thing. Sheets and towels are good to do together.
Okay.
So I'll cover that more when I do laundry school in September, which seems like a far way off, but like we'll be here in a minute. So the two problems are, first of all, people think that more detergent equals more clean. Like that seems intuitive, but actually the opposite is the counterintuitive take. It's like the slate take of laundry detergent. And that was a very deep inside media joke. And then Lizzie is
works for me.
Lizzie is like really giggling over. So that's one thing that like it's sort of a natural inclination to think that more laundry detergent equals more clean. The other thing is that detergent manufacturers do not make it easy for you to use the right amount of detergent because, of course, they have a vested interest in having you use too much detergent because if you use too much detergent, you need to buy more. Blah, 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 blah. So what I would say to you in terms of figuring out what how much to use is, first of all, don't just rely on the cap and or the scoop. Actually look at the back of the package and read what dosing instructions they give. And then I'm also going to give you one more piece of information that's going to be really helpful for you, which is this. A large load of laundry is 6 to 8 pounds. An extra large is 8 to 12. So just so then when they say like a for a large load, use this much, you'll be like, what was a large load? Right. Like, yeah. So now I'm telling you.
So I should weigh my laundry.
Well, the thing is that you don't have to do it every time. What you do is like sort of weigh it once so that you can eyeball. Like, so then you know, like, okay, 6 towels is 12 pounds. So that's going to be a large load. I don't know if that's what it is.
No,
I'm
that
just
makes
saying.
Sense.
Like,
okay. Okay.
So then going forward, you kind of know. And that's the way to figure out the answer to that. Okay. Now let's talk about the solution to the mildewy towels, because we got to triage them back to neutral. So then going forward, you can use the correct dose of detergent and you won't have the problem going forward. So to triage this problem, once it's already happened, you're going to wash the towels using a half a dose of detergent. Because remember, there's already soap residue hanging out in there. We want to get all of that out, which means we want to use a half dose of detergent for this one load of triage that we're doing. And 1 cup of white vinegar along with it. The white vinegar is going to strip out all of that excess suds. It's also going to kill the bacteria that's causing the mold and mildew smell. It's going to kill the mildew, basically. So that's what you're going to do. And then once you've gotten them back up to neutral and they smell fresh and you've gotten the residue out of them, going forward, as a reminder, you know, mind your dosing. And also very important, never, ever, 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 ever use fabric softener on your towels. Never,
Why?
Ever, ever. Because it creates a coating. So in your gym clothes, it creates a coating that traps bacteria in. On your towels, it does that, but it also does something even worse. It creates a coating that makes the towels less absorbent. And the whole purpose of a towel is to absorb. So please do not rob your towels of their God-given purpose in life by making them less absorbent. They don't like that. No fabric softener. The vinegar serves as a natural fabric softener.
Oh.
Yes. Hmm. Dryer balls also help to add the fluffiness back into the towels. So listen, you're going to sacrifice a touch of softness in skipping fabric softener, but it's going to be better for the towels.
Right. We had towels that are too fluffy and don't actually dry you. I think maybe because they had fabric.
They have fabric softener.
Yeah.
In them. Yes. If you ever get a towel that you like, you're like rubbing it on yourself. It's like, this is so soft, but like, my, it is just not drying me in the least. It's because it's been washed with fabric softener. Mm-hmm. My best friend does this. And every time I go visit him, I just start like screaming in tongues. Like and the next time I'm out there, which is going to be in a few weeks, like I think I'm just going to bring snakes into the house and start snake handling, because it makes me so crazy that he does this. Like, I'm like, Matt, I can't get dry. Please.
Yeah.
Anyway, he doesn't like to listen to me. Okay, one more thing about your towels. You should use your towels 3, max 4 times before you wash them. I know. Yeah, Lizzie's making a face.
No, my face was going to lean. I was going to lean into the microphone and say, John.
I don't want to be responsible for marital strife. John is Lizzie's darling husband. Darling husband. Your darling husband. I love John, you guys. No marital strife on this program.
No marital
strife. I've already wept on the program. Please don't make me weep again. All right, let's talk about the orange molds.
Yes, that happens in our shower, too.
It happens in everybody's shower. The orange mold is not actually mold. It's a bacteria. It's similar to mold and mildew. It is called Serratia marcescens. You guys, did you see how I got that right on the first try? That's that orange stuff. So you can't prevent it. It loves water and soap. That's why it's in all of our shower drains and on our shower curtains and our sink drains, in the toilet. It's just going to be a fact of life in the bathroom. And it grows fast, like way faster than mildew does. So that's why you're like seeing it all the time. And you're like, how can I get rid of this? So how can I not have this happen? You really can't not have it happen. Like I clean my bathroom every week. I have it. Because it just grows up fast.
Yeah.
So I did cover this in both episode 153 and 154. So I won't go super, super, super into it, but you can't prevent it, but you can contain it. On the shower curtain, one thing to do is close the shower curtain after you've used it so that the folds aren't folded in on themselves, which will trap moisture and encourage the bacterial growth. Keep your moisture levels down. We talked in 154 a lot about ways to keep moisture level down in the bathroom, so I won't go into that again. And then, you know, really, honestly, you guys are going to hate this answer, but clean regularly. Yeah. So that's it. Sorry. I know that's not really fun. Yeah. Let's move right along because we got another question.
All right.
Claire Tansy.
All right.
Have you read
Claire Tansy.
Good name, right?
Yeah. Funky sink drain remedies?
Yeah.
I mean, that also sounds like it could be, well, the orange stuff, but also just general funk.
Yeah. I mean, drains.
They're gross.
Can definitely take on a funk. And I'll say I'm usually hear this question about the kitchen sink. But definitely the bathroom sink. I mean, if you think about, like, you know, you're brushing your teeth and, like, hawking loogies down there every morning, and you're using weird face products that probably have a smell and probably, like, build up around, especially
well, and I shed a lot. Like, if you're a shedder and your hair gets trapped in there, yep. Does that occlude the things from moving through?
Yeah, absolutely. So there are all kinds of ways and reasons that the drain in a bathroom might take on a funky smell. The easiest thing to do, and the gentlest, frankly, is to do the old baking soda and vinegar volcano. Yeah, because that's going to do two things. First of all, it's going to the effervescent nature of that combo will kind of slough any buildup off of the sides of the drain. The other thing is that both baking soda and vinegar are odor eliminators. So the combination of the two will also nuke a lot of whatever is causing the bacteria down there. You can dump bleach down there. Some people are all in on bleach. Some people are not. I would actually recommend the baking soda and vinegar over the bleach, but like bleach will work. Yep, sure. One other thing to suggest is using a bottle brush, a small bottle brush. Maybe even in conjunction with either your bleach or your baking soda or vinegar. One thing to remind you guys, never ever mix vinegar and bleach. I know I'm always banging on about bleach and ammonia, but the same rule is also true of vinegar. Don't mix bleach and vinegar. It won't create mustard gas the way that the bleach and ammonia will, but it will create fumes. Because vinegar and ammonia are chemically similar.
Oh.
Yeah. So don't mix the two. Go with one or the other. But the bottle brush will also help because whatever is like built up around the sides, it's probably not a clog situation. If you have a clog, then you got to snake that drain. It's probably just that there's something that's gotten built up or stuck onto the inside of the drain pipe that's just causing an odor. Yeah. So what?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
So for a while,
Lizzie, you may not ask.
Well, you have the listener question.
Of course, of course, of course.
So for a while, our laundry had kind of a weird, gross smell to it, all of it, and you had me clean our washing machine, which we inherited from the previous people who lived in the apartment.
Yes,
with vinegar.
Yeah.
What is that? Like gray schmutz that is in a washing machine. And now that I've had one like really disgusting afternoon cleaning it, do I need to do that regularly?
Yeah. So the gray schmutz is basically a buildup of product that has kind of sat wet and soapy. So again, you know, setting the dining room table with the formal china for mold and mildew. And then, you know, wastewater, and, you know, grime from your dirty clothes, right? I mean, it's sort of a fetid, cesspool-y combo of things, that's creating that schmutz.
And I could not for a long time. I was just like, why does everything smell? And then I realized it's because we were washing it in smell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So then to answer your question about cleaning the machine, yes, technically speaking, you should regularly wash your washing machine. Once a year is fine.
With what?
Like, just the same way that I had you do it, just like, you know, run a load of rags with white vinegar through and, you know, take an old toothbrush and scrub the compartments. Like,
okay.
It's not an overly involved affair. If, however, you more frequently launder heavily soiled laundry, you may want to increase the frequency to 2 to 4 times a year. I'm going to give you a very specific group of people, and we know these people. If you are a cloth diaperer.
If you are my brother.
If you are Lizzie's brother.
And his wife.
I owe you an email, first of all. I am so sorry. You asked me a good question about cloth diapering. And I archived it because I didn't want to think about diapers. I wanted to think about Tinder. I'm just in a different phase of life as a thing. But yes, people who cloth diapers, so who are regularly washing poopy
Poo.
Diapers, need to be washing their washing machine more often. That's going to be like a 4 time a year kind of thing.
Okay.
So, there All you right. go. Yeah. Great question, actually. Really, really good question.
Thank you.
All right. Actually, on that good question, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. So Lizzie and I will be right back with more about your bathroom smells and whatever else comes up and your poopy diapers, I guess. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by super smeller, Lizzie O'Leary.
Hello.
We're talking about your bathrooms.
It makes it sound like you're talking about my bathrooms. No, my bathrooms smell good.
Everyone's bathroom. Yeah. My bathroom smells pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I clean it all the time.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sneak into the bathroom that John uses, and I clean it a lot. We have two separate bathrooms, which is like really the best part of our apartment.
Truly, the key to a happy marriage is separate bathrooms. My mother's old advice. We were at a bridal shower years and years and years ago, and you know, as happens at bridal showers, said, "Oh, ladies, let's go around the room and everyone give your piece of marital advice, right?" And there, you know, it's nice. It's a nice thing to do. And, you know, it was all like that try, like, don't go to bed angry kind of stuff. And but it's all, which, you know, okay, I don't actually buy that one.
Yeah, it's
at all.
Depends
but
on
then,
who you
know, you mean well with the advice or whatever. So, like, get around, all the ladies are going around, they're all being nice. And then they get to my mother, and she just deadpans, separate bathrooms. And everyone started laughing, one, because it was just like her delivery was so funny. But then they're all like joking around. And I finally just like turned to a group of them. I was like, you know, she's not joking, right? Like, and she isn't joking.
No.
She and my father have literally never, ever shared a bathroom. And she swears that it is the secret to their happy marriage. Yeah.
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 It's great.
Yeah. So anyway, I think there's something to it. All right. We've got some more. We've got some questions. Actually, we have a lament. We have a lament from Caroline that I wanted to open the second segment with. I'm going to have you read it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to do like a lamenty tone.
Okay.
Has anyone ever experienced old pee smell being absorbed into those porous composite material toilet seats via areas of eroded paint / lacquer? I wiped down everything, but it lingered. My solution was to replace it. But I still need sympathy.
You have my sympathy.
Oh, Caroline.
Yeah, you have my sympathy. I actually, it was funny because she got a whole bunch of replies from other people being like, yes, like, It was like
the squishy toilet seats.
It was a squishy toilet seat.
Oh yeah.
There was like a whole community of people who like.
Yeah, my aunt had those.
Who found each other and they all were like, we're all in this together. They're horrifying, right? So I wanted to use this one so that we could say, Caroline, we have sympathy for you, yeah. My friend. But also I wanted to say this because I don't think people know this. Toilet seats. Incredibly easy to replace. Incredibly easy to replace. I don't think people know how easy it is to replace a toilet seat. So incredibly easy. Like,
yes.
for the most part, you don't even need tools. You literally like pop the old one off
and
with your hand.
And doodles on the bottom.
Yeah. And then you pop the new one on. And you can buy them very inexpensively. You can buy really nice one. If you want a new padded one, if you like a padded toilet seat, it's not my toilet seat. It's not my tush. It's your tush.
I mean, if theoretically you climbed up on the toilet seat to reach a cockroach and try and whack it with a bottle of shampoo, and then the toilet seat went violently sideways and you fell on the floor and the toilet seat broke, it would be an easy thing to replace.
Theoretically.
Theoretically.
If that happened.
If that happened,
yes.
To you.
Indeed. I lived in an apartment. This is like probably about a decade ago. The toilet seat that I like got when I moved into the apartment didn't actually fit the toilet.
Mm.
It was too small for the toilet. So
yeah,
I went and got a new toilet seat that fit. So that's another, leads me to this next piece of advice. Measure the toilet before you go buy a new toilet seat because they come in different sizes. It's not one size fits all. But that's the only tricky thing to know about replacing a toilet seat.
Okay, what about pee smell though? And I'm gonna make a sorry men. Male pee smells worse than female pee.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, it
no.
does. It does.
No.
Nope.
You guys, send your angry emails about this to Lizzie, not to me. No.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll take it.
Okay. I don't think it's that it smells worse. I think it's just that it gets in more places that it's not supposed to be.
So how do you make it not smell?
Well, you can't. I mean, drink water exclusively.
Well, I guess I meant not how do you make
diet.
Your pee not smell so much, but like...
how do you clean it up?
Yeah.
So one of the things that happened... Well, first of all, you know, we've got our old friend Dr. Bronner's, which is great on odor elimination. So that would... If you're having a problem with like a pissy smelling bathroom... Sorry, Lizzie just took a big swig of water and now making her laugh. I would actually suggest switching to Dr. Bronner's as your regular bathroom cleaner because it's gonna be an odor neutralizer and it cleans, you know.
Yeah.
So soap and water, basically. So that's one thing. Another thing that happens is not so much grout, which grout is porous, but not as porous as caucus. I know. Lizzie's losing it right now. Go ahead and make the joke, Lizzie.
No, I'm extremely adult.
You are not. Neither of us are. Listen, cock jokes abound. We actually made a ton of them last week because we were talking about cutting out cock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Living the dream. Get the X-Acto knife and just cut it out. Cock will hold on to pee smells terribly.
Yeah,
so,
it will.
Around the area around the base of the toilet is usually cocked in, and so when men pee and they miss and it hits the floor, it gets absorbed into the yes, I know Lizzie is a mouth agape.
Okay, yeah, that's actually fairly mind-blowing.
So the solution for cleaning it is for I would say first try the Dr. Bronner's on a scrub brush and just give it like a good like with Dr. Bronner's and see if that nukes it. If it doesn't nuke it, cut the cock out, re-cock it.
Go back and forth over that cock.
All righty. This is a good science question. From my pal Lee. Hi, Lee.
I like the really sciencey ones. Why do lit matches get rid of poo smell?
They don't.
They don't?
They don't. Mythbusters took this on. Yep. So got to give credit to Mythbusters
okay.
for doing this.
All right.
So here's what they did on Mythbusters to figure out if this was true or not. They like got themselves a sealed chamber.
And a lot of coffee.
No, they pumped in hydrogen sulfide and methyl mercaptan, which are the odor compounds that you find in poop and in farts.
Huh.
So they created like synthetic fart smell and pumped it into the sealed chamber. They measured the concentration of the gas, and then before they lit a match and then after they lit a match, so that they could then determine whether the lighting of the match actually affected the concentration of the odor-causing molecules. And what they found was that, no, indeed, it did not. It didn't affect it. So they were able to prove that the match smell doesn't get rid of the odor.
Hmm.
What they also found was that lighting the match, and I think we kind of all know this, that lighting the match produces sulfur dioxide. And so what actually is happening when you're lighting the match is that sulfur dioxide is a stronger smell than hydrogen sulfide and methyl mercaptan. So it's not that it's eliminating the odors, it's that it's putting a stronger odor on top that for most noses masks the smell of the fart and the poo.
I would argue that farts and poo smell different, but okay.
Well, we're one or the other. Right.
Just
yes, you know. I would argue the same thing, but we're
broad spectrum. Okay.
So now I will also add that in my own experience, and I bet this is going to be true of you too, I do not ever use the match trick, because to me, when I do, what I smell is poo and match.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a super smeller, but I'm a swell smeller.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're a super smeller, so I bet to you it's just like, yeah, no, it doesn't
You're adding
work.
Another smell and they're tomatoes. The only thing that has ever worked for me is my brother gave me as a housewarming gift this thing of very fancy APC post-poo drops.
Yes.
And with like ylang-ylang oil in
yeah.
them. And
pre-poo, the pre-poo.
You know, well, there is the pre-poo.
Yeah.
But this was different. This was post-poo.
Oh, interesting. Do you remember the brand name?
It was from APC.
Okay.
They make like fancy sweaters.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We did get a tweet from someone who was like, those poo drops really work. The ones that you put in the toilet before you go.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. And I've heard before that they work. And I think I think years ago I wrote about it for the hairpin.
Yeah.
That's how long ago it was. So I'm overdue to talk about the science behind that. I have to dig into the science behind why.
Yeah, I would like to know what the.
Okay, well, you'll come back and we'll do the science behind it. Perfect. Okay, so the last two things that we have actually aren't questions. They're tips.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you read. Actually, I'll just have you read both of them. First is from Leslie Stockton, friend of the show, Leslie Stockton.
Not a question, but we have a bowl of activated charcoal in the bathroom at Henry Street, and it really works.
Yeah, it does.
Tell me more.
I love active charcoal. Active charcoal goes by four names, similar names. Active charcoal, activated charcoal, active carbon, activated carbon. All the same thing, just slightly different terms for the same thing. I don't know why it has so many names. I'll look into that too. Some point. I think that active charcoal is one of the best odor neutralizers, eliminators out there. Way, way, way better than baking soda when you're talking about fridge.
We have odor. One of those little square.
Yep, the Frigit.
The charcoal cube thinger.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, the Frigit. Great. Great in bathrooms. You can buy it loose. You can order it on Amazon. You can buy it in those kind of bricks or like in the preformed little cubes that go in your fridge or like in your car. You can buy it loose on Amazon or in pet supply stores in the aquarium area because you use them in fish. Use it in fish tanks.
Oh.
It is a great odor eliminator. Just it absorbs odor. So unlike, you know, things like Febreze that just mask odor or matches that mask odor actually absorbs the odors. Yeah.
Wow.
So it's great. Great stuff. I love active charcoal. And I loved that tip. And I think Leslie actually knew about active charcoal from me. So Leslie runs the test kitchen for Wirecutter.
Oh, okay.
And she's been on the show a bunch of times, and she's
well,
my great
so
friend.
That's going to involve a lot of smells.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so, like, we are constantly sharing tips back and forth. I've learned, like, so much from her over the years. But I think she actually might have gotten the active charcoal thing from me.
Hmm.
She also may have known it before she met me, in fairness to Leslie. Leslie knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff. She's great. Great lady. I love her. All right, we got one more. This
okay.
was, like, this was so much. This was so much.
This is from Rain.
Twitter respond today, right?
Yeah. Not an odor question, but a warning. Not an odor question, but a warning. Be careful of de-stinker sprays whose droplets fall on tile floors. One of my friends broke her hip when she slipped on a spray slick. Not fun.
Not fun.
Not fun.
Broke a hip.
That is
serious. A hip.
Yeah. And as someone who recently ate it in the New York City subway, falling is awful and scary.
Yeah. No bueno.
Mm-mm.
No bueno at all.
I wonder if it was something with a little oil in it.
Well, I think it probably was the same kind of
the drops
that you have. Yeah.
Oh.
Because, you know, when you were describing it, you said it has oil, like essential oils in it. And I sort of was like, I wonder if it's that same stuff. So just be careful with it.
Get it in the toilet.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's also just like it's a good thing to remind people of, especially in bathrooms where we tend to have either tile or natural stone floors, like just to be really, really careful about what you're putting on the floors because you can slip so easily. Even just a wet floor is very dangerous. You know, please always have a bath mat down. Don't skimp on having a bath mat. It's not just so that you don't have to step on your cold tile floor. It's really a safety thing. Yeah. So do bear in mind your safety concerns when it comes to the bathroom in particular, where like there is a lot of risk for slip and fall.
Don't have a dog who wants to come in and lick wet people the minute they get out of a shower.
Also that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also that.
Actually pretty annoying.
We've got a few more minutes. I'm going to have you repeat your amazing luring a dog into the bath tip.
Advice.
Yeah. Because Lizzie actually gave this advice on this show and then she gave it on Twitter and like it went viral.
People were very excited about it. So I should credit the like dog rescue group that I'm in on Facebook. This is how I learned it because I have a dog who does not like going in the bath and she gets disgusting and she smells.
Right. And actually, I also put two and two together around why you bathe your dog so much more than other people do because it's not your dog. It's you.
It's me.
It's because you're smelling it.
I can smell it. Yeah. No, it's Mm-hmm. So I take peanut butter and, you know, any kind of peanut butter works. But Kong even makes these like cake decorator tubes of peanut butter where are very easy to smear. And I smear it around the inside of the tub. And Mara that's my dog, is so excited that she will get in and go to town licking the peanut butter on the tub and is distracted enough that I can bathe her.
Yeah.
And it works fantastically.
Yeah.
It's absolutely magical.
Yeah.
And she more or less gets all the peanut butter
off. And she gets it all
off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to clean the tub anyway after bathing the dog in it.
The filthy dog. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so.
But no, absolute, like, miracle thing.
Genius.
Yeah.
I love it. I love, love, love it. Another thing is, actually, maybe you should try, what do you wash her with?
I wash her.
Your special doggy shampoo?
Of course I do.
I mean, Lizzie.
I have, like, hypoallergenic, you know, oatmeal doggy shampoo.
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
Just delicate skin.
Dr. Bronner's is a great doggy shampoo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great doggy shampoo.
Well, and I will say, speaking of smells, this past summer, she rolled in something horrible and dead.
Yes, and I remember that.
You told me to use baking soda and apple cider vinegar.
Probably a baking soda. I probably said Dr. Bronner's.
Oh, maybe Dr. Bronner's. Yeah. We didn't have that.
I don't really
but I made like a baking
you made like
soda,
a paste.
Like a paste.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah,
really got it in her fur.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah. I believe it.
She'd like rolled in a carcass.
Yeah.
A great smell.
No, yeah, not great.
To me, she loved it.
Yes. Also that. She was happy. Lizzie, not so happy.
No.
All righty. On that note, on that carcassy note, that seems like the right note to end a whole episode about smells.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Well, no, here, I'll give you one seasonal one.
Oh, good. Okay.
My power of smell is so good that if you give me a box of Valentine's Day candy, I can look at it and tell you what filling is inside each thing.
Get out of town.
100%.
I'm doing this to you.
Fine.
I'm coming over on Valentine's Day.
Bring it.
Your first married Valentine's Day. I'm going to show up.
I will smell your candy.
I'm going to show up at your house. Set the table for three.
Deal. Done. It's fine.
I'm so excited about it. All right. So that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or Spotify. Leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.